104.5 The Zone. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Our own group of regulators, Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop. Jonathan Schaefer, our producer. I'm Kevin Ingram. Time to head to Knoxville. Our friend Brent Hubbs from VolQuest.com for our weekly visit. Brent, what's going on this morning?
Not much, guys. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing great. We've talked a lot about the NBA draft lottery and what might be going on in the selections there. But what about Grant Williams? I know he's been going through the draft combine, and he says he's going to decide and announce on Saturday what he's going to do. How do you see him leaning? And does it really seem like there's much of a chance that he comes back to Tennessee?
It certainly feels like he's going to stay in the draft and go. I think that he's probably getting a lot of good feedback with what he's done on the offensive end of the floor. You know, my question with Grant remains the same. Who does he guard defensively? What position is he going to guard in the NBA? I think that's really the only question that a lot of NBA, you know, scouts and executives have about Grant. I think they feel like he can really develop a face-up game that's developed over the last couple of years, but it's continuing to improve. He's shown some range and the ability to you know, be wider out on the floor and score the basketball. But again, when you look at the four teams in the NBA Finals right now, who does he guard? He's not going to guard a five and a true center, I don't think. Can he get out and guard a stretch four? You know, what position is he going to guard? I think if he's answered that question, I think you're going to see him go higher in the draft than any of us thought that he would, throughout this year. But right now, it certainly feels like he's going to stay in the draft.
So Andy Katz said that NBA teams and cities are going to love Grant Williams. He's so impressive. I think that's something, you know, Brendan, watching this guy, that we already knew that wherever he goes, he's going to make a positive impact. It's just, you know, a matter of where he fits into one of these teams.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you know, nobody who's ever spent any time with Grant is surprised that he's impressed, you know, NBA executives by sitting in and having an interview with them or having a meeting with them or face-to-face talk, whatever you want to call it. I mean, he's as impressive as they come. His work ethic is good. I mean, he's got all the intangibles that you're looking for. The problem is he's 6'7", you know, and that's the one concern that you have is what's the limitations with the height? And can he play bigger than you know, taller than what he is? His timing was good in college, and he was a good defensive player in college. Can he be a good enough defensive player in the NBA where they oftentimes don't play a ton of defense anyway? But who does he guard? I think, but from an intangible standpoint, there's no doubt he's a lottery pick in terms of all the intangibles because of the just who he is and the type of human and type of person that he is.
What are you hearing about the draft prospects for Jordan Bone?
Yeah, I think he's going to stay in it. I think that's what he wants to do. I think that there's some teams that like what he can do. They like his potential, probably a project, you know, still going to take some time to develop there. So nothing's a guarantee for him. I think the one thing that schools or teams would like to have seen on his resume a little bit more was, and it's something Rick Barnes wanted him to do, and that's finish at the rim more. You know, get to the free throw line, attack the rim, not just settle for a jumper, but really go and get to the basket and foul somebody. He's obviously got great speed, 94 feet. There's a lot of things he can do well, and he does do well. But I think that some teams are looking at him as a guy that in a couple of years might be in a position to be a real factor. So I think he's going to be a bit of a project in the eyes of some franchises. But right now it certainly feels like he's going to stay in the draft.
A weekly visit with our friend Brent Hubbs. His website, VolQuest.com. All the info you need about Tennessee.
Brent, since we're still on basketball here, I guess, how's the recruiting going on, I guess, 2019 and 20 class for Coach Barnes?
Well, I mean, I think they're done in the 19 class. You know, they took the late signee from Maryland, Olivier Robinson Camwa, last week. He'll be here in a couple of weeks, and we'll get settled in. I think that's a guy who's going to have to play for Tennessee this fall. They're going to need help in the post, particularly if Grant Williams stays in the draft and you throw in the loss of Schofield and the loss of Kyle Alexander. They need help in the post. And so he's going to have to come in and play immediately and be a factor there. Josiah James will factor in immediately with those guys. Corey Walker is the guy who's committed for the class of 2020. He's a guy that is going to transfer from his high school down in Florida. He's going to go to Hargrave Military, the prep school for a year and focus on basketball and kind of, you know, develop there. They'll play better competition. I don't think Tennessee necessarily encouraged that or really pushed that on him, but they were not against that in any way, shape, or form because it's going to make him a better player. You know, Keon Johnson is supposed to do something in August in terms of making a decision, so that's kind of one to watch. And it'll be interesting to see what other names kind of pop up moving forward. Tennessee's going to take a transfer from Arizona State, who should be in town as early as the end of this week or next week, who will come in, and we'll see where he factors in or how he factors in, if he's going to be eligible, that type of thing. But that will be the final addition, I think, to the 2019 class. I don't anticipate them taking a grad transfer point guard unless something strange happens or somebody suddenly reclassifies, which I don't expect anybody to do at this stage of the game.
I saw Keller Chris and Ethan Wolf all signed, I guess, with the Steelers and the Panthers. What do you think? Are they long shots, or do they think they have a shot at least making a practice squad?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, for Keller Chris, it's a long shot. You know, this is a guy who at Pro Day was asked to run some routes as a tight end and late in the Pro Day. So I don't know that anybody sees Keller Chris right now as, you know, being a real factor in the quarterback rotation. Teams don't carry a ton of quarterbacks. So we'll see with, you know, maybe make a practice squad there or what they do. I think with Ethan Wolf, you know, I think there's a chance there. I don't know the Panthers tight end situation completely. You know, here's the guy who is got some skill and got some ability, bounced around with some practice squads a year ago, and will have a chance. You know, with the Panthers, I think that, you know, they signed him because they have a need, and he's a guy who's improved and got better, you know, a year ago with the Packers and being a part of that practice squad. So he's not giving up on the dream, and I think he's gotten bigger, he's gotten a little bit stronger and developed a little bit more, and, you know, maybe some opportunities present itself there and, you know, in camp and you know, in the preseason, that maybe he can earn his way to that 53 man. We'll have to see. I think it's probably still a little bit of a long shot that he can do that, but he's still certainly in the development stage and is willing to continue to do the practice squad thing and continue to try to earn his stripes.
Mm. Well, so, you know, now that spring ball's over, I'm sure the coaches are sitting back and evaluating their team. But, man, who do you think will have a breakout season this upcoming season, offense and defense?
Well, I mean, I think defensively, I don't know that it's a breakout season because he had 7 sacks a year ago, but Darryl Taylor got 7 sacks in 2 games. So you certainly want more consistency from him. And I think he's a guy that can do that, needs to do that. He'll need some help on the other side with him. I think Batuli in year 2 in this defense is going to be much better. And I think Alante Taylor, who did not play bad a year ago, I think Alante Taylor in year 2 will be more consistent as a corner. You know, than he was. Safety is going to be fascinating. What happens with Nigel Warrior? Does he come closer to living up to his billing? Trayvon Flowers is the guy everybody was high on a year ago till he broke his collarbone. Where is he at? He could be a breakout guy, you know, in the back end. And then Emmett Gooden maybe is as important as anybody up front. He showed flashes. You know, can this kind of a contract year for him? Can he really emerge? And need, you know, they need him to have a breakout year, and the potential is there for him. So those are some guys defensively. On offense, I think Josh Palmer, who had moments last year, I think he's a much better player than he was a year ago. I think he's got a chance to have a big season. And I'm going to be really curious to see how Jim Chaney uses Dominique Wood Anderson in a variety of different ways at the tight end position. Do they, you know, flex him out a lot? Does he play in line? Does he play an H-back role? Do they move him out of the backfield? What do they do with, what all do they do with him? I think he's a guy who may not have a huge yardage total, but I think he's going to have a number of receptions to be a nice safety valve for Jerry Garantano.
Going to continue our visit with Brent Hubbs. His outstanding website is volquest.com, where you can find all the info you want on Tennessee sports. More Wake Up Zone powered by the Tennessee Lottery coming up 8:28. Is the time. Let's talk about Open Door, man. It's the time of year when you start to think about selling your home. You have some options. You can listen on the market and wait in weeks and weeks until it closes. And if you're lucky, you get it done in that amount of time. It gives you a really restrictive schedule. You have people going through your home. You have to have it ready to go. And you have to be ready to disappear for any last minute showing that comes along. Or you can skip all that. You can save time and get a competitive offer with Open Door. It's a free way to go about it. When you get that competitive offer within 24 hours, you go to the website there now. You put in your info. They use current market data from your area, and you get an up-to-date offer, and you can find out for yourself why 30,000 customers and more than a dozen cities have chosen to sell by using Open Door. You get that free home assessment. It cannot be any simpler. You put in your details and your neighborhood information, and Open Door handles the rest. Even repairs, if you need to get those done, they'll deduct the cost. They'll handle the repairs themselves. Transparent fees and pricing. And again, no listings or showings or staging or stress that goes with selling your house. So get it done. Opendoor.com and do it right now. And you qualify for an, see if your home qualifies for an Open Door offer. You get your home deep cleaned if you do it before May 22nd. So go to opendoor.com/clean, opendoor.com/clean, and get your offer. Oh. The Zone, 834, the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. We continue our visit with our friend Brent Hubbs, his website, volquest.com.
Brent, Jared Garantano going to the Manning passing camp. You know, no big surprise, but, you know, again, he'll get some instruction. And, this is a guy who's, pretty far along anyway. But, again, nice honor.
Well, certainly, and I mean, it's anytime you can hang out with the first family of quarterbacking, I think you can pick up and glean something from, drill work or just a discussion at the lunch table or whatever. So I think it's a good thing. And obviously, Peyton has pretty much ensured that all the Tennessee quarterbacks are a part of that camp as a counselor and learning a few things there. So I don't think it's a bad thing for Jerry Garantano as well in any way, shape, or form. And I think one of the things that, it's important for Jared, and you can learn this as a camp counselor and that type of thing, is leadership. I mean, he's far enough along. He's played long enough. He's got enough experience. How accountable is he going to hold everybody on this football team? It's time that he takes the reins of this football team in the locker room. And is he ready to do that? Is he capable of doing that? Will he do that this summer? I think the leadership on this team is important, and I think it starts with him.
All right, this, you've heard just about every kind of goofy recruiting story. Tate Ratledge, a four-star offensive tackle, chooses Georgia over Tennessee. His father's a lifelong Vols fan and rips that Power T off of his truck, that sticker. Pretty dramatic, Brent.
Well, and pretty pointless, to be honest with you. I like the Ratledge family. I've dealt with them. They're nice people, and Tate's father should go support his son 100%. And I understand that, they grew up liking Tennessee, and Tate obviously wanted to go to Georgia, and the family, did not pressure him to go into Tennessee and go support your son. But I don't know that we need to, have it as a news clip, in the 6 o'clock news of pulling the sticker off it. I can remember when Sean Young, who was a lineman from down in North Georgia, picked Tennessee over Georgia, and his dad publicly talked about how disappointed he was in his son. I think his words were something like, he came in that house after the visit wearing that puke orange, and I guess I'll have to deal with that the rest of her life. So you've seen it on both sides. I don't see what the point was of getting a camera. Hey, what did he tell him? I'm going to go in here and pull the sticker off my truck. So be sure and shoot the video of this. I mean, I don't know what you were trying to do that for effect, other than it's going to cause the type of social media reaction that it caused. And he's taken, some Tennessee fans have given him quite a bit of grief over it. I think it was something that could have been avoided, but hey, it's free world. Everybody do what they want to do, and he elected to do it that way.
Of course, we're speaking of Brent Hubbs from VolQuest.com, and VolQuest has so many, great aspects to it. Of course, the written word and, great reporting by Brent and his staff, but also the podcast. Now, get me straight on this. Your latest podcast, you and the boys we're talking about a little bit of a lull in putting the 2020 class together. Can you explain that?
Well, yeah, we did that podcast, and then they got
a
commitment that afternoon from Art Green, a junior college defensive back. But you know, it has been a little bit slow, and I think that's created some angst with Tennessee fans when you know the calendar's so fast now, it's sped up so much, and you know Tennessee has been waiting for somebody to jump in and to go, and particularly an in-state player. And Ratledge was important, but he was not supposed to do anything until June, and he sped it up to go to Georgia. Tennessee's kind of waiting on somebody in-state to jump in the boat and get things going in that direction. Is that going to be, you know, Cooper Mays, Tyler Barron, who's transferred from Nashville over to Catholic here in Knoxville, somebody in-state to kind of get the ball rolling and get things going? It's ironic that there's there's concern in May because things are slow, but that's what recruiting has turned into. So many of these teams already have a dozen, 14 commitments, that type of thing. It's got a chance to be a big June. It's a very important June for Tennessee. I like to call June the new January. We'll see what Tennessee can get done in June. But it has been a little bit slow until the JUCO defensive back, Art Green, committed on Monday. It had been really slow.
You know, I'd ask you how Jeremy Pruitt is faring in terms of heightened expectations, but we know about the summer of Smokey, which really isn't Smokey. It's Smokey, the human mascot, but that's a whole other issue. But in all seriousness, Brent, you know that pretty soon the magazines are going to roll out the websites and all that, and Tennessee there are going to be a few that are going to be bullish on the Vols. How about that aspect for this team to handle when they come back? About you know people not only expecting them to go to a bowl game, but to maybe win 8 or 9 games.
Yeah, you know I don't think that that's going to carry nearly the type of burden of expectation as you would have had you been a team that had won, you know, 5 of your last 6 and really closed with a bang. And you know, the reality is Tennessee's last 2 games, they weren't competitive. I mean, Missouri took them to the woodshed. Vanderbilt took them to the woodshed. That's your lasting impression of Tennessee. I get some people are going to be, you know, bullish on them because they're returning a quarterback. They're returning their top receivers. They're returning, quote, a lot of starters. But it's not like Butch's year where, you know, they close with a bowl win and then all of a sudden everybody's talking about them winning the East and there's some expectations there. Yeah, there'll be somebody who will jump on the Vol Express, but there'll be some other people who are going to question whether or not this team can make a bowl game because they're going to look at Tennessee more and what they did to end the season as opposed to just everybody that they've got coming back. So I don't think there's any kind of burden there. I think the reality is, can this team, you know, get to a bowl game? Can this team show growth throughout the season? Which, you know, they had their moments last year, but again, they didn't finish it off the right way. And that should have left a bad taste in their mouth, as Jeremy Pruitt stated in an interview earlier this week. You know, when he kind of, I won't say he ripped his kids, but, you know, he questioned why anybody would want to go home for mini term and not stay here and work out because, you know, they had spring break off, and as he put it, they were home for Christmas because they didn't get bowling. So I think the expectations internally are going to be probably higher than some of the external expectations are going to be out there.
Brent, a quick baseball question to finish up. Tennessee goes into the last weekend of conference play 12-15. They host Ole Miss this weekend. What might a good showing against Ole Miss and then another good showing in Hoover do as far as their NCAA tournament hopes?
I think they need to take 2 of 3 at least this weekend against Ole Miss and then, you know, show up in the SEC tournament. And I think they're going to have a real chance of making an NCAA regional. They might make a regional if they can win 2 of 3 or sweep Ole Miss this week, regardless of what they do in Hoover. This conference has a great reputation about it. Tennessee's RPI is really high. They've done a great job winning their midweek games. This is a team that's been competitive really in every game in league play with the exception of a couple. I think this is a highly regarded team out there. They just need, you know, go starting Thursday night, take care of some business at home against an interesting Ole Miss team that's been heckling, you know, Jekyll and Hyde, whatever, all year long. They've not been very good on the road. They've been much better at home. Tennessee needs to take care of business. And give Tony Vitello credit. This is a team a year ago did not know how to win games. They couldn't figure out how to win baseball games. They've done a tremendous job of that. Perfect they've not been. They've missed some opportunities. But for what he's done in a year's time to change the culture of his program, he and his staff deserve a lot of credit. They've done a really nice job with this club.
They sure have. They just look a lot more sound, and the pitching's been really good throughout the year. Brent, thank you. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you next week, I should say.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, we'll see. From VaultQuest.com, that's Brent Hubbs every Wednesday morning right here.
You're giving him a lot of time off there.
Yeah, I'm not, no, we want Brent back next week, of course.